Bob, while I'm here at the KGVM studios, and I'm joined by Commissioner Zach Brown. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Commissioner Brown and his office reached out to see if we might be interested in providing some information to voters on the upcoming ballot issue to fund a new law and justice center here. Maybe the name's a little bit different from that now.
Yeah, we're just referring to it for now as the Gallatin County Courts building. If we get it approved and built, we'll name it something fancier at that time. But it's just a courts facility, so that's really the bread and butter of it.
Nice. And so this will be one of several ballot issues that pertain to levies and bonding on the ballot that people will be receiving, I guess, any day now, or start of next week, maybe. So this one will be something that everyone who lives in Gallatin County will have on their ballot. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And actually, City of Bozeman voters will have a very busy ballot. There's lots of things there. But the voters that are not living in a city, this will be the only thing on their ballot, with the one exception of the Lamont school district. But yeah, the county unincorporated county voters, this will be the only thing on their ballot. And yeah, the clerk and recorder was loading ballots onto trucks this morning. So they should be hitting mailboxes in the next few days.
I was hoping that you could maybe walk us through some details about what the issue is that's on the ballot and why it's on the ballot, what the need for this is.
Yeah, so folks who have been around the community for a while will be very familiar with this topic. This is the third time the county has asked voters to consider a courts building, law and justice center replacement. The need is multifaceted. Number one, the current law and justice center, which is over in the city of Bozeman near the intersection of 19th and College, that's a 1962 or 63 Catholic high school that the county purchased in the late 70s from the Catholic Church, and we've been in there for about 42 years now, and that's been paid off for more than 20 years. So thank you to the taxpayers of the 1980s and 90s for providing us with that facility. But because it was a Catholic high school, it was never built or designed to be a courts facility. So there's lots of issues with just the way it's laid out, and from a safety perspective for victims of crimes or for attorneys and judges or county employees going in there every day, and inmates who are being transported from the detention center to get their hearing in court, all those types of things. And then structurally, the building is unsound as well. In 1999, Prue and Lennon Architects did a full building inspection for the county. And that report that they published basically found that the building was borderline condemnable. And that was 22 years ago. So it's a situation where there's no reasonable or cost-efficient way to get it up to code. It's structurally a bunch of stacked concrete cinder blocks from the 1960s with no vertical rebar. Over the years, support structures on the interior and a couple of courtrooms have been removed. So there's just a lot of structural issues with the building that make it unsafe. It's not ADA accessible. It doesn't have a fire suppression system. It's unsafe from a lot of perspectives, and it's been replacing this building has been the county's, Gallatin County Commission's top capital improvements project priority for 20 years now, and we haven't been able to get it done. So we're getting a little desperate. And the last part of the need is driving our desperation, which is that we're just out of space. So the legislature just funded a fourth district court judge, which we're very grateful for. It's desperately needed in this county as quickly as we're growing and with what the caseloads are. Last time we added a judge was 2005. When that fourth judge is appointed and shows up in January, we're not going to have a courtroom for them. And as the county commission, part of our promise to the legislature and to the governor when we advocated for that judge was to say, we'll have to find a way to put them somewhere and give them a courtroom. And so this project represents our attempt to honor that commitment.
I believe that there is kind of an addendum on the north side of the Law and Justice Center currently that houses a courtroom for maybe when a third judge was added?
So you're thinking of District Court 3. So the last time we added a district court judge to Gallatin County was 2005, and Judge John Brown was appointed by Governor Brian Schweitzer. And when he arrived, it was a similar situation. We didn't have anywhere to put him. We didn't have a courtroom for him. So the county used our existing bonding authority. State law allows us to borrow up to $2 million without asking for voter approval. So we used that bonding authority to build a modular courtroom that's attached to the Law and Justice Center. Judge John Brown affectionately refers to his courtroom as his shed of justice. And has a great attitude about being there, and he's done a lot of great work out of that facility. That was meant, you know, that 16 years ago, that was meant to be a temporary solution. And Judge Brown's on the precipice of spending his entire career in the shed of justice. The irony, though, is because the building is to modern structural codes, he'd be one of the safest people on the campus in the case of an earthquake. But yeah, you're right. That District Court 3 is a modular courtroom that was attached in 2005.
So for people that might have been looking at the news and recently, I think that the safety issue is the thing to really emphasize. I mean, it's not just the structural safety of the building, as I understand it. There are issues with the flow of people through that current building. Because one thing that I expect some voters are probably thinking about is that they've read recently that it wasn't big enough, but that the sheriff's department and maybe some of the associated services are moving out to Four Corners. So I think some people might be thinking, well, that'll free up some space. Do we still really need another building? So, you know, what are some of the issues with the building? You've kind of talked about structural soundness being a significant issue, but there are other issues, as I understand it, with just the ability to safely operate courts in that building, even if there is a little more space.
Yeah, so one example is just physical square footage. There are three courtrooms that make do for a district court trial that has 12 to 14 jurors. The municipal courtrooms that will become available when the city moves out at the end of the year have jury boxes that only fit five or six people. So even if the sheriffs move out, there's not a room or a space in the building for a large courtroom that would be adequate for a large jury trial. And so, yeah, that there's those issues. And then from a safety perspective, the current facility doesn't have any secure part or has very limited secure parts of the building, so that, you know, and in many cases, judges and court staff and attorneys are using the same bathrooms as the victims of crimes or their attorneys. And so a lot of folks who are interacting with the court system are just intermingling in a way that would never be acceptable if you intentionally designed a court's facility. You know, right to fair trial is constitutional right for all of us. And there's a lot of things that go into making sure a trial is fair and objective. And I think we've made do with what we have with the Catholic High School, but it was never designed to be a court's facility.
I know, anecdotally, I was on jury duty once, and we were in one of the jury deliberation rooms, and it was astonishing to me that there were just file cabinets full of old court records sitting there. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess maybe some of those things are public record, but it seemed less than optimal that we were sitting there and, you know, waiting and waiting. It's like we could have just been over there rifling through all of these old court documents and stuff. And just, you know, that really emphasized to me how the space crunch, how acute it was there in that facility. So, but yeah, I hope that, you know, that's one thing that people will consider, is that it's not just about square footage. It's about the flow of traffic through the building, the ability to segregate people into different parts of the building, and provide a safe and, like you said, really to fulfill the obligations that we have to provide safe trials and fair trials. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the proposal is for the new building that will be covered by this bond issue.
Yeah, so I think the difference between this project that we're proposing now and what voters have voted on in the past is that previous project proposals were much larger buildings with much more services packed into them, including law enforcement and the county attorney's office and victim services and court services. This building that we're scoping at the moment is just a pure courts facility. So we've worked really hard to reduce the cost of the new building and what we're asking voters to fund. We've scaled down the scope of services that will be operating out of that building. So the ask that's going to be on voters' ballots here this week is $29 million in bonding authority, which is essentially asking for permission to borrow $29 million. The project in 2016 was a $59 million ask. So the price tag's less than half, and it's really just a pure courts facility, district court, justice court, clerks of court, a security detail office, and youth court, and then the advocacy groups like Haven and Guardian Ad Litem will have space in there too. But it's just going to be a courts building, no bells and whistles. And we've been really creative, I think, and frugal in terms of finding ways to move services around and utilize existing facilities. So we already own the Gunther building, which is where the victim services and the county attorney's office will be based out of. As you mentioned, we moved the sheriff's office out to Four Corners using federal CARES Act money. So that took care of the sheriff's office needs. About 90% of their operations are now in Four Corners. So we've reduced the scope of this project down as far as possible. We're also, it's about a $45 million project overall. But we're able to come up with the difference between that and the $29 million ask using a variety of financial tools and savings and things like that. So we've worked our butts off to try and respond to the fact that the voters have said no twice and lower the cost and simplify the project. And hopefully folks appreciate that when they're filling out their ballot.
So the new building will be at the current site.
Yep.
Is it planned to be kind of north of where the Law and Justice Center and the annex, the woodshed are,
yep.
The shed of justice?
Yep. It'll be overlapping or right next to the shed of justice. So on the north and west side of the current Law and Justice Center, we would build the building adjacent to the Law and Justice Center and continue to run court services out of that facility during the 2 years of construction if this passes. And then when everything was moved into the new facility, we would then demolition the old Law and Justice Center, and part of the square footage there would make room for parking. A lot of people wonder, why don't we reuse the building that's there? In this case, to get it to any kind of a modern engineering and structural standard or code, we'd have to rebuild the entire thing from the inside out anyway. There isn't even a real foundation or framework of a building that could be reused. So doing that would be much more expensive than starting from scratch, unfortunately. I mean, you know, certainly we would like to be more efficient and frugal with building materials if that were an option, but it's just not in this case. So that's the plan.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, the proposed building is a one-story building, and I wonder, do you have an idea of how the footprint, the square footage compares to the current facility?
I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but it does provide adequate courtroom space. And another important thing is we're not going to have to come back to the voters anytime soon to ask for more money to build more courts. We don't have enough judges in Gallatin County for the size of population and the number of cases we have here. And so we'll be going back to future legislatures asking for more judges. The current building plan that we have will allow for courtrooms to be added to it easily. And there's a conference room and office space that will be easily converted into a fifth district courtroom in the case of getting a fifth judge. And we'll be able to fund that retrofit without going back to the voters, just within our existing budget and bonding authority. And then after five judges, we would implement a court sharing model where we would have judges rotating between courtrooms and utilizing office and court space in a rotation, which is what a lot of other communities across the country do. I think once we're at five, we won't be building a new courtroom every time we get a new judge. And our judges are good with that. So yeah, and another question we get sometimes is, why wouldn't we build a second floor on the building? Unfortunately, you know, this service, the judicial system and the court system, is not an optional service. We can't put it on pause for 6 months. You know, these in some cases are life and death issues that we're dealing with. And so building a second floor on top of a functioning courts building just wouldn't work logistically. Construction noise would be disruptive enough that doesn't work, unfortunately. So it'll be a one-story building. It'll have a small basement part of it. And the neat feature of the design is that there will be a secure tunnel that accesses the detention center so that we're not escorting inmates through a public hallway the way we are in the current facility, but our sheriff's deputies will be able to take inmates directly from the jail to the basement of the building and then up through a secure elevator right into the courtroom. So the whole design and layout and flow will be a lot safer and just a lot more intentional, what folks would expect from a judicial facility.
Right. I've been a little curious about, like, from the outset, why the plan is for a single-story building instead of maybe two or three stories. You know, it seems to me from things I've read, from things that are maybe a different purpose of construction, that maybe a multi-story building might be a little more cost-effective.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, again, getting the cost as low as possible, keeping it to one story was the most frugal option in this case. And it's worth noting the county owns all the land there. And so in the future, if we needed to expand, we could do so horizontally. There's plenty of space to move outwards. The previous two ballot questions that were voted down were two-story buildings. And so they were much bigger, more square feet, and more expensive projects, and the voters said no twice. So again, I guess our interpretation of that is at least partially that the project was too big and expensive and cost too much. And so we've tried to reduce the scope and the cost as much as possible. And part of that was making it a one-story building.
Do you have any kind of a projected lifespan for the building? Is there some sort of idea? And I know those things are obviously guesses at best, but any kind of an idea for the voters how long this could be expected to be usable?
Yeah, I think the current building is about 70 years old, roughly, and so I think that's a reasonable lifespan if you think about a public facility. You know, we're in the courthouse downtown, our commission offices, that building is about 75 years old, 80 years old, maybe a little older than that, but I think right in there. So I think that lifespan is functional and meets a generation of need, so to speak. And yeah, that would be the hope here, is we wouldn't have to keep coming back to voters and asking for more. This would take care of us for a number of decades is very much the intent and the hope.
And you said that it is conceivable, if it was necessary, that there is opportunity to expand the building if that became needed, but the plan is to build it now big enough to support the fifth court, right?
Yeah.
The absolute necessity that we'll get there in some reasonably short time period. So, and then that should be big enough for a significant period of time.
Yep, that's our thought. Yep.
Okay. I was a little curious. You said that once the construction would be completed, if this passes, that then the old Law and Justice building would be demolished and that would be room for parking. Has there been any discussion or thought about any of the other land there? Because the plot is actually fairly large, right? There's kind of a lot of land on the northwest corner and then some along the south edge of it that doesn't seem to be used too much now, especially some of the parking if it moved more toward the building. Has there been any thought about any possible uses for that other land? Or
yeah, we have a records facility that's taking up some space. So probably when you toured it last was before we had built that records building. That took care of some of the issues of file cabinets and boxes strewn about in the hallways. We are going to have to build a court services standalone building on that campus. So that'll be part of this overall project scope. We're also going to have to build a sheriff's building attachment to the detention center. The sheriff is required by state law to have his office in the county seat, so we can't totally move them to Four Corners. And then there's also some emergency services technology requirements that are need to be right there on that campus in case the grid went down or we went into some kind of a state of emergency. We would still need 911 and our law enforcement operating, and so there'd be backup IT on that site. So we do have to build a sheriff's building. Again, that's part of the overall scope of this project. But yeah, there is plenty of space there, to your point, to accommodate for future project needs. And we own the land, the taxpayers own the land, and so we'll be able to utilize that moving forward as other needs arise in the future.
So the issue that's on the ballot is for a levy for this bond. And do you have numbers about... I've heard some of this, and I think I didn't internalize it very well, how much that's projected to cost and how that's likely to change over time.
Yep. So it is a bond, not a levy. So a levy is a permanent tax authority, whereas a bond is just permission for the local government to borrow money. So it's, you know, a 20-year bond. It's like having a 20-year mortgage. When it's paid off, it comes off the tax rolls. So the cost to an average Bozemanite in this case would be the median assessed property value in Bozeman, which is different than market value or what your house is worth on Zillow, and much lower, by the way. This, the most recent assessed property values in Bozeman, has the median price in Bozeman at $370,000. So the cost per year for that median house is about $25 a year. So I've been telling folks between $20 and $35 a year will cover the vast majority of households in the county. Now, obviously, the folks in the Yellowstone Club will pay a little more and so on and so forth. But and then the way that changes over time is you calculate the bond price and you spread it over all taxable value in the county. So every year that more property comes on the tax rolls, that cost is spread across more payers. And so the price, the numbers that I just quoted are the highest cost in the first year. And with the growth trends we're seeing, those costs will come down a little bit every year. And another thing to point out here is, you know, tax fatigue is a real thing and people are stressed about property taxes. And we understand that. The county, for what it's worth, is only responsible for 7% of most people's property tax bills. So we've worked really hard to be respectful, and my predecessors who came before me worked really hard to be respectful of the asks that we make of county taxpayers. And the other bond that we have on that people are paying off right now is the detention center bond. In about 2025, that will be paid off. And that was a 15-year bond, I believe. And so there will only be a few years where taxpayers are paying, if this is approved, paying for both the courts building and the detention center. Come 2025 or 2026, whichever year it is, the projects will essentially displace each other and neutralize the cost to most taxpayers.
This is great information. I hope that people are getting informed. I know, as you said, tax fatigue is real, and I think people are, myself included, a little wary about reappraisal next year. Is I expect going to be a little hard for a lot of people in the county, especially people in Bozeman. But I think that with prices going up, it's not just a issue in Bozeman. You know, it's kind of throughout the county. So I know people are concerned about it, but you know, when people are thinking about this, it seems to me that it would behoove them to really think about the cost of not doing anything, which is, you know, we've done that a few times, as she pointed out and stuff, but it seems like that cost probably goes up every time that we decline to act on this issue.
Yeah, there's simply no other way for a local government to get a project like this done other than a bond question on people's ballots and property taxes. So if there was any other way to do this, I promise you, Bob, we would have done it. But there just isn't. And so kicking the can further down the road doesn't take care of the problem, and the problem will only get worse. So our hope is that this is just an opportunity to get this project off the books and we can all move on. And I guess a couple thoughts there is, you know, one issue with the courts building is it doesn't have that emotional appeal to people the same way schools and parks and whatnot do. And I think part of the fatigue is, well, I just built a new high school, or if I'm in Three Forks, I just passed a $25 million bond to rebuild our schools, or I just passed an open space bond and those types of things. So it's easy to say no to a courts building. Well, my argument to folks there is that there is no more basic service than a courts facility. And in a community that has done a wonderful job, and in a county that's done a wonderful job investing in schools and libraries and parks, we have grossly neglected our courts facilities. And this is an opportunity to fix that and just move on. And courts and the judicial system are not an optional service. That's constitutionally mandated, federal and state law. And like I say, the Constitution require us to provide space for the courts to operate. And a functional judiciary is fundamental to keeping the train running on time for our economy and our democracy. It just couldn't get any more basic from a civics perspective. And so we really are in a bit of a desperate situation, and we really hope the voters will partner with us on this project.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming in. And did you have any other thoughts that we haven't touched on?
Well, I guess the other thing we were going to talk about was the fact that the city of Bozeman has the public safety center. And I think that's a point of confusion for both folks in the county and in the city. There's this idea that, well, that's already been taken care of. And it's a bit wonky, and I understand why that's confusing. But the Bozeman project, the Bozeman Public Safety Center over on Rouse, only houses city police and municipal courts and the city attorney. So that system and those courtrooms adjudicate municipal ordinance violations and some misdemeanors. But if you experience any kind of a civil case, or civil hearing, which could be business law, property law, family law, a divorce, an adoption, what have you, or a criminal case that is a felony, all of those cases are adjudicated in our district court and our county court system. So even if you live in the city of Bozeman, you still rely on a functional district court system. And, you know, you're certainly not going to use it every day or often every year, but when you need it, you sure as heck need it to work. And so this project is necessary, despite the fact that the city of Bozeman Public Safety Center was a great project that definitely took care of part of the need. But this project is needed by everyone in the county, including city of Bozeman voters.
Well, I hope that this is information that people find useful. And when they're looking at their ballots that'll be coming out, as we said, if you live in the city of Bozeman, you'll have a number of different things on your ballot. If you're out in the county, this might be the only thing, or you might have some school-related stuff. But hope that this information is food for thought for people, and that they will study up on the issue and make an informed decision and vote. The ballots are mail-in ballots. They should be in your mailbox here within a few days. So I believe that they need to be received by the county courthouse on November 2nd or before. So make sure that you get it back in the mail, or you can always take it down and drop it off at the courthouse and get your vote in, get counted. And I want to thank you again for coming in and for sharing this information with us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bob.